Okay. So we are on call two of breakthrough questioning, our second of three. Before we jump in, a couple of things. First of all, I just want to say I hope everybody is doing well. I'm not one for, oh, it's been such heavy energy, but every now and again, I am one for that. And I feel like the last couple of days, just, I don't know, at least me and some of the people I've been talking to, it's been a little heavy or hard or anger making, or frustrating. So if you are in any of those places, I am sending just a lot of love and care to you. I'd love to hear how you're doing. And if there's anything that you need, as always, please let me know. Two housekeeping pieces I wanted to make sure that I mention. One is they're kind of related. They're both about Facebook. So I had promised a Facebook Live for all of you, and I did it finally yesterday. It's pretty short. I think it's a little under 8 minutes or maybe a little under 9 minutes, but I think, not to pat myself on the back, but I think it's well worth it. It's a good story. So when you get a chance, if you haven't already seen that video, go over to our Facebook group, and you've got it there. And speaking of Facebook, and I think the team is going to send an email out about this, but I figured it was worthwhile just to mention while we're here together. Facebook has yet again changed. It's always changing its rules for things. I do not know why. But anyway, it's changed some of its stuff again for Facebook groups. So we're all in a Facebook group for Sacred Depths. And what the now the change is that you don't see all of the posts in the group unless you ask to see the posts in the group. So like I was missing posts from each of the groups I was managing, or at least notifications of it. If you want to make sure, like anytime I do a Facebook Live or anytime somebody posts in the group, if you want to make sure that you get notified, go to the group and we'll send instructions out about this, but basically you have to go to our Sacred Depths group, look for the three little dots in the right-hand corner, click on it, click manage notifications, and then you can choose to, get all of the notifications. So just wanted to put that out there in case you wanted to change your notifications on that. Okay. So again, welcome. I'm really happy that we're here. Last week, our first call of breakthrough questioning, we looked at kind of foundational principles to think about when it comes to questions and asking really good questions. Our session today, I'm going to take us through lots of different types and categories of questions. It's not going to be exhaustive, but we'll look at, and we may look at also some different question sequences. Just to say a couple things about this. First of all, this is just the beginning. We have this module on questioning, but from here on out, every topic that we look at, we're also going to look at questioning around it. So this is, we've got a lot coming around questioning. If you are a seasoned practitioner, I want to invite you to pay special attention to our class today. And that is because a good amount of what I'm going to share, you may already know. I'm sure many of you do. However, we can sometimes get into a rut with the questions that we ask. And we kind of get into this place where we ask similar. I get there too, by the way, where like I kind of ask the same three or four types of questions over and over if I'm not on top of it, right? They're probably really, really good questions that work really well. It's not about stopping to use them. But what I want to kind of offer for you is to just to have a variety of different types of questions in your toolbox and at your fingertips. So I'm going to be sharing a lot of content today, and it's going to be, we're not going to spend time processing it like we often do in our sessions together, or I should say that there's not going to be a ton of inner inquiry around what I'm going to share. Instead, what today's class is going to be, I'm going to just give you like a salad bar of tons of different options and questions to think about. You're not meant to integrate all of it by the end of our call. There's no way that you could. Everything that I share, I'll also give you in a handout in the member center, but I'd like to go through it so that we can understand. It's not like I'm just going to share questions. We're going to look at when to use certain questions and why and how and that kind of thing. But you'll, the more that you practice, the more that you'll integrate. And we'll talk more about practice later. The other thing just to say, I may have mentioned this last week, but I don't think I did. When I first started out as a practitioner, I was really concerned about asking good questions because I get concerned about everything and anxious, right? But anyway, I was like, I really want to make sure I can ask good questions. And probably for the first, I don't know how long, easily the first 4 months of my coaching career, we can call it, for every single client session that I had, I prepared up on my computer two or three different lists of like the 50 best coaching questions, whatever it is. I had it there as a crutch. It felt just like a nice little crutch and safety guard for me that I thought, like, if I just go blank, I can quickly look through and find a question. And I will say that I did end up using it a couple of times. And it was helpful, right? Like sometimes when we first start out, or even when we're seasoned and we want to go deeper into our questioning, sometimes having those things can just help us. So I offer that little story for a couple of reasons. Number one, to say it's totally normal. If you feel called to do that, I invite you to. Number two, to say I will be including just a list of questions for you if you want to have it open during your client sessions. I don't think you're going to need it forever. You may not need it at all. You may just want it there because it helps you feel better. But so however you need to move through. Okay. All right, any questions on any of that before we move into looking at different types of questions today? Vishali, I don't know if I understand your question in the chat. Do you want to come and ask voice to voice about Facebook? It's your group, not theirs.
I don't know why it was a Facebook. It was when you're talking about Facebook.
Oh, do you still have the question or was it answered?
No, it wasn't answered, but you know, I mean, it really isn't part of your thing. It's about Facebook, so I don't need to take your time.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, I'm gonna share contexts where I ask the questions, Linda, as we go through them. Okay. All right, so then let's dive in. I'm going to go through a lot. I don't know how many different types there are here. 20. We're going to go through 20 different types. Again, this isn't exhaustive. It's going to be more than enough for some of you, for many of you. These are kind of some of the most common types of questions that I find can be really effective. Okay, so the first one for us to take a look at is the am I getting that right question? Am I getting that right? And again, you know, for those of you that want to take notes as we go along, because that helps you learn, please do. For those of you that just need the information to sink in, to just be present to it, know that you'll get all of this in writing. So when do you use the am I getting that right question? We already looked at this. So in our creating awareness module. So after you've reflected back to a client or created awareness by mirroring, you want to use the am I getting that right question. So it can sound lots of different ways. Here are some. I'm hearing X, right? Whatever it is that you're hearing, whatever it is that you're reflecting back or creating awareness. Am I getting that right? Right. Here's another way it can sound. It sounds like you're saying X, right? Whatever the X is. It sounds like you're saying X. Did I hear that correctly? As you were speaking, I could almost sense that Z. I could almost sense that, you know, your heart was free and ready to fly, you know, fly open. Or I could almost sense that you're ready to blah, blah, blah. Am I getting that right? So that one's pretty simple. And we looked at that quite a bit in creating awareness. The next type of question, I really like this type of question. I call it definition questions. So these are questions that support a client to define something for themselves. So when to use these. So you might think, you as the practitioner might think that you know what the client means when they use a certain term or say a certain concept, but don't make assumptions. So you may actually be working with a different definition than your client when they use a certain term. So it's important for you as the practitioner to ask. Also, it can be so powerful for the client to define something for themselves, to define a concept for themselves. It's powerful, it's clarifying, it opens up new ideas, new opportunities. So for example, if a client is talking and they say, I just want more freedom, you may want to ask them to define freedom or what family means or what a romantic relationship means or what success means. That's a biggie, right? So many of us define success in different ways. And so many of us, without even realizing it, haven't even defined it for ourselves. We're just going with all of the cultural messaging on what success is, right? Or what balance is. So when we ask a definition question, we're also helping our clients to connect the dots for themselves on some of these things. So examples of definition questions are, what does X mean to you, right? If they bring up freedom, well, what does freedom mean to you? Or simply you can say, define X, right? Define freedom. Or, well, explain success a little bit more. And that's another way of asking that question. Can you explain X a little bit more? Tell me more about. Here's one of my favorite kinds of definition questions. How is X different than Y? How is X different from Y? So for example, how is space in your schedule different than space in your mind or body, right? If someone's talking about things they want or need more space in their lives, or how is self-trust different than self-confidence? Or what's the difference between service and servitude, right? So those definition questions, when you kind of one versus the other, can also create so much awareness and deeper understanding for a client. I'll do another one or two more types, and then I'll pause for cues and thoughts and ideas that are coming through. The next type of question that you want to think about using is clarifying the current situation question. So questions that help the client clarify their current situation. And not just the client, but the practitioner as well. So we want to use these questions when it's an appropriate moment to gather more details on the current situation. Both for you as the practitioner, you may need some more information on what the client is talking about, but also these questions can help a client create more awareness and understanding about their situation. What's important to keep note of with clarifying current situation questions is that you only want to ask as much as you need, right? You want to, and what I mean by that is sometimes we can just get curious out of curiosity, like, ooh, like she's talking about this or that. I wonder more about that, right? We want to just kind of check ourselves that we're not asking just conversationally or like just purely out of, I know I've said before, we want curiosity, which we do, but to also keep it in line with the results that, you know, the client wants or what the client wants by the end of the session. So examples of these could be, let's say a client is talking about, you know, a team meeting that went really badly. What exactly did she say during the team meeting? What exactly did they say during the team meeting? Another example, you know, sometimes I'll be working with a client and they'll, you know, do some kind of marketing strategy and they may come back and say, nobody signed up. So clarifying current situation, you know, I want more information on that and I want them to understand it more. So what does no one signed up mean? Does it mean that there was no interest whatsoever in the offering? It was crickets. Does it mean that some people responded and wanted to schedule a call, but they didn't sign up? You know, what does no interest actually mean? If a client says that a date that they went on the night before went really badly and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, well, how did it go badly, right? That's clarifying more the situation. Any kind of tell me a little bit more about, I think Rocco is bringing that up last week in our Wednesday session. Tell me a little bit more about. A great clarifying the current situation question is, what are you overlooking in this situation? What are you overlooking here? Another example, what was your intention, right? What was your intention when you decided to cancel the doctor's appointment? Helping a client clarify. All right, let me pause here. Like I said, today's call is like a little more didactic, less processing, but I do want to hear what's coming up for you, what you're seeing, what questions you have. If any, what ideas are coming through as we're starting to look at this? Anybody need anything or want to share or have cues? Elijah.
Hi, thank you. Loving this. Okay, so when you were talking, let me look at my notes, under definition, and you gave some examples. So like you gave, how is X different from Y? So how is space in your schedule different from space in your mind or space in your body? Or what's the difference between service and servitude? So I was really impressed with those questions. And I don't think you're gonna be able to answer this, but I was like, well, do you just think up those comparisons on your own? Like, where are you getting, like if somebody's talking about service, I assume you're like, oh, I'm going to ask them what's the difference between service and servitude. Am I right?
Yeah. So
it just seems really impressive to me, because I'm like, how do you think of that in the moment? I'm not saying I couldn't, but
no,
I'm like, oh my God.
Yes. I'm so happy that you're bringing this up. So thank you. So first of all, I don't always, right? I just want to be clear, like, do not put me on a pedestal. Like I am teaching this, right? And I hit it sometimes, and sometimes I do not, right? So that's the most important. I have more answers, which I'll share a few, because you know I always have a lot to say, but that's the first, right? Like, just no, it doesn't always happen. Full transparency. From there, when it does, here are some of the things that help it. Number one, just the listening, right? The deep listening skills. Number two, all of the self-development work that I have done, right? Like, I have had issue in the past not being able to distinguish between service and servitude, right? So I'm taking all of my life's lessons, all that hard work that I know all of us are here, like, have already done on ourselves. We get to use that, and like, that gets to shine and really help us. Those are some of our filters, right? In our work with clients. And because our clients generally tend to be a version of us, a lot of it, right? A lot of it is going to apply. So I'm always bringing like all of my positive baggage and negative baggage, right? Like, I'm bringing all of it in. That being said, I just want to share, like, one of the reasons why in Sacred Depths, I go into a lot of, as we'll get in, like, I go into a lot of topics that other training programs don't, and it's not exhaustive here either, is because I want you to learn human nature on some things too, or go deeper in the human nature that, you know, so we do get to look at a lot of issues that you can then bring in. And then the last piece, just to share, that's related to all of that. Remember last week I was talking about language, and I think I was sharing, I love to also learn new language and new concepts, not just for myself, but to bring into client sessions. So like, everything that I'm learning, like, my clients are getting the sum of me in that.
Thank you so much. I don't want to take away from anybody else's hand raised, but just really quickly, do you have a sense? So this is like so much information we're getting every week. And I'm taking it all in. And I'm just curious, since you've run this program before, is there like a time when this stuff starts gelling that you've found? Because I'm in the point where it's not gelling, right? It's like, I need to remember this. I need to remember this. I need to remember this. So I'm doing my buddy sessions. It's like super conscious versus it's like self-conscious, I will say, versus like flow. And I'm curious, and you may not know, but I'm just curious if there's like a point where you notice that.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a single point, okay, right? And mm-hmm. I don't know. I also want to say, like, I don't know that this, you may not like this answer. I'm just going to say, I don't know that there's a point that it's all going to come together. Right. I think no myth of arrival. It's like, it's a constant becoming. The more that you mm-hmm. can practice, mm-hmm. Both with your partner, your coaching partner, as well as to like bring, don't say I'm going to bring everything into a client session, because that might be overwhelming, but the more that you can practice pieces, like, you know, today I'm going to like see if there's a definition question I can ask in one of my client sessions, right? So just the more that you can practice, it'll be cumulative, but I also just can't even promise that at the end it'll all be tied up in a nice, neat bow. Life is too messy.
Yeah. I mean, when I was asking the question, I sort of knew the answer, but
yeah, no, I'm glad you asked it.
Thank you.
So thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Kim.
So this actually follows along with Elijah's question, as well as picks up on another element. So this idea of finding kind of a brilliant connection for a question, for me can be a little bit like a magnet. And I tend to try to keep finding those. And so you suggested that we only ask the things that we really need to know, that we don't just keep going on that. But I find that really challenging to stop because I think, oh, here's a little nugget. Let me ask some more questions. I'm going to find another little nugget. And I spend too much time doing that. Yeah. Do you have any guidance for that? Maybe it's just getting more comfortable with myself, but I keep finding when someone else gets an aha or I get an aha, that it's pretty magnetizing for me.
Yeah. How do you know when you've gone too far? Like even if you don't notice it in the moment, like what's the difference for you between the right amount and you've gone too far? What do you see?
Well, I've never thought about it going too far in that way yet previously, but what I do notice is when I get a ways down the road, I don't know how to come back. I've gone to a point where I need to get back to relevance, and I'm just in intrigue rather than in relevance.
What does intrigue feel like in your body?
It's actually really quite fun. It's uplifting. It feels like I'm hitting a nail right on the head. I mean, I feel like there's something a little bit energizing about it. I don't know how to describe it more than that.
No, I think you described it really well. And there may not be a difference, but I'm wondering, is there a subtle difference in your body between intrigue and intrigue with relevance?
I don't know. This is the first time I've thought about trying to stop sooner. I haven't really thought I've had a choice. So I'll be curious about that and see if I can.
So now just take notice. Don't drive yourself nuts about it, because my sense is that you're getting to the right places. But see if when you're in session, if there's a difference between, you know, the best way, and maybe you have better words, you can tell me, intrigue, like just intrigue for the sake of intrigue versus intrigue with relevance.
Or purpose.
Uh-huh. Or purpose. And your body may tell you. I think the other pieces you mentioned, I can't remember what you said. When you go too far, what did you say? Something happened.
Come back. It's hard to make my way back to something that's relevant.
So if you can just track that a little bit more, like, you know, and just find the earliest place where, like, oh, I lost the thread versus 5 minutes later. And then start to train yourself to pause in that moment. And you can even pause and say, okay, let's pause here. What are you seeing so far that feels really important to you? And then that, like the answer to that question can, reset isn't the right word, but it can sort of help inform where you go next.
Okay, thank you. I'll give that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Jenny and Mark.
Yeah, hi. This is kind of similar to what Kim just asked. So something I've noticed, you mentioned questions that take you off track versus ones that, you know, keep you focused. And so I noticed when you coach, you're really good at quickly getting people to something that, at least it seems to me, that's like, oh, you just hit it. That's the juice right there. And I feel sometimes when we coach, it takes a while to get there. I guess there's two parts to this. One is sometimes it just seems like it takes longer than would be ideal to get people to like the real main thing that needs to happen. And then also sometimes because the work we do brings up emotions, we'll be in a situation where like we only have a limited amount of time, like a group setting, and they'll start to emote deeply. And we want to make space for that, but also keep them on track and make sure they get to the thing they most want to get to in that limited time. And it feels tricky. So I just wanted to ask if you have pointers around that.
Yeah, I'll answer. And I also want to open this question up because I feel like I have some answers and also not. And there's probably wisdom from the group. First, I think sometimes it takes longer, right? Sometimes it just does. The way that I coach in our group calls is slightly different than I do in a 45-minute session where I will take some more time and get some more context, obviously because I'm taking note of time and all of that. And I think we're primed in a way too, because of the container. Like it's not all me, like you're primed because we're in this container and, you know, to kind of, we're already going in, right? So I can't take all the credit for that at all. So, you know, sometimes it just does take longer, is satisfactory or unsatisfactory. I don't know what to answer to the question. But the other is, it is related, I think, to what Kim said. And I'd love, you know, if anybody has more words on it, this is part of my Virgo nature. I don't want any of the things that are important or, you know, whatever. So I'm not taking people on a specific path because I want to leave it open for the client to have agency and lead, but it almost feels, this is how it feels energetically, and I'm just articulating this now, maybe this will be helpful. With each answer that's given, it's almost like then I'm eliminating this path and this path. Like maybe there's 10 paths open in the beginning, and then I ask a question and it almost feels energetically like three paths fall down because of the answer to that question. And then I have seven. And so then I'm asking a question that can maybe hit them to see what's going to fall down next. And it's almost a process of elimination in a way. I don't know if that's made any sense, or you can tell me, what did you hear in that that's important, if anything?
That made sense. It was helpful to hear that it's a process of elimination and you don't necessarily know exactly going in. The one thing you said that intrigued me though is when you like you said, we have this container here, so we expect it to be briefer. And I feel like a lot of times when we're in a group, when we're coaching in a group setting and our calls will go long and people aren't complaining because they get their time, but I feel like I don't necessarily know how to change my approach based on, okay, if this was a private session, we have plenty of time versus now there's other people on the call and right. I want it to feel spacious, but not feel like people are just sitting there and it's going on and on. Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed like in one of your bonus Q&A calls in this group, I don't know, it was maybe a month ago, when you had seated a lot of people thinking, wow, Joanna could do in 10 minutes what it takes us about 25 minutes to do, you know, and I'm just wondering is that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I the other thing I will say is, and maybe some of you have noticed, like I definitely do a little bit more consulting when I'm doing laser. Not always, but a lot of the times I'll bring more consulting in with a mix of coaching than I might in a longer session. And also it's funny because that you're asking it, because I have been thinking to do a bonus call where I have to put my thoughts together too on how to do laser coaching. So maybe this will give me the impetus to, you know, to kind of push that forward and make it happen. But I do think it's also about making choices, right? Like we're not going to cover everything. So let's hone in on the thing that's most important and in the 10 minutes get there. Mm-hmm. And I know the question is, so how do you do that? think about the different questions that were you, because it's always going to be different each time. So I can't answer.
Just one more thing. Do you have any good things that you say when you feel like you're coaching someone and you do feel like maybe they're trying to do too much or they're not focused and you want to like keep them on task, but they're also feeling deeply, so you don't want to put up a barrier. You make them feel unheard, but you want to say something kind that still kind of brings them back.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when that happens, first I'll honor all that they are saying, right? Let them know that I honor it and I hear them and I see them, you know, and I'll say, we have X amount of time. We've got 30 minutes left on the call. I know that you wanted to cover this and this on the call. And I also hear that this that we're speaking about right now is very important to you. How would you like to allot the time just so that I know how to move us through this call, right? And so then the client can make a choice for themselves. They may say, you know, I spoke enough about that. It's good. I want to get to this and this. Or they may say, I didn't realize how important this is. This actually is the priority for this call. Or they may say, like, can you watch the time? Give me 10 minutes on this. And I want to spend the last 20 minutes on this. So I will just create awareness around the container, like container meaning the time, and then put the question back on the client.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything that anybody else wants to add to these great questions? Any other thoughts or wisdom around this? These are all such great questions. Bruce, I had a feeling you might have something to add, Bruce. But you're on mute.
I'm just noticing the brilliance with which you sequence the material in this course, because when you were talking, I appreciated your comments, Elijah, when you were, you know, just talking about how she thinks of these questions. And so that got me thinking about, Joanna, the how you know it's a, you know, when you're coming up with questions to ask, how do you know if it's a clean question or not?
Define clean.
Well, why I said the brilliance in the sequencing is we've talked previously about biases and judgments and filters. So how do you, what's the process you use in the moment to decide the origin of the question?
Oh, you guys are giving me stumping me today. These are tough. I mean, I totally appreciate it. First thing I want to say is I don't think in any situation, I don't think there's any one right question. And that's the beauty and the power of all of this. I think that there are many right questions in any situation. And I also think that it's a forgiving, we always want to strive to be as clean as possible, but we also, I think it's important to know that it's mostly a forgiving process. I don't think it is always 100% clean when I ask it, you know, being totally honest, but it's enough, right? And then there's enough trust in the container and enough trust with the relationship that it's okay. So that's kind of backdrop to your question. And then what was it? What is the origin? Can you ask it again?
Well, there are so many places questions can come from. You know, they can come through you rather than from you. They can, you know, come from out of your own story or out of theirs. There are just a million places they can come from.
So, right. So that's and you also mentioned filters and all of that. So that's a big part of keeping it clean for me. Is as much as I can being aware of my filters. And that's a practice over time and one that I'm still working on it. So when I hear anything, it's almost like, because I've been practicing this for a long time, almost immediately in my head, I'm asking, do I have stories around this? Do I have triggers around this? It's okay if I have stories or triggers around the things, by the way. It's just, if I'm aware of it, it somehow helps the question, you know, to use your term, be clean.
Right.
I don't know. Is that helpful? That's the best I can do.
Great. I just, you know, I just notice a lot of times I have to you know, it's in, you're in process with somebody, but it's almost like I have to take a nanosecond out and ask myself, what do I want from this question?
Yeah.
The questions for me, not for them. If I'm
right. So if the questions for you, then, you know, the next thing is like, but do I need to know, right? To support the client, do I need to know? But if it's really just for you, then, yeah, you know, then that's a no. The other thing, and I think I've mentioned this before, is I do this almost automatically now, but for the longest time I practiced this after sessions, is I think in every moment I'm asking myself, what is the next piece of awareness that this client needs? What is the next piece of awareness? And I may not know, right? Like, I don't want to dictate their wisdom for them. I may not know, but I'll know the ballpark and then try to ask a question based on that.
Yeah, that's great. It keeps it out of you and focused on them. That's great. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for adding that, for that question. Okay, because of time, well, you know, I feel like these questions are more important. I'm going to keep on going. Maya.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm assuming it's something that will probably come up when we talk about resistance, but I'm going to mention it anyway, if maybe there are some interesting thoughts or pointers. I keep thinking about the experience that we have in the group and with our partners. It's probably drastically different from the experience we'll have with quote unquote real people. So supposedly somebody who comes to a coach is ready for some sort of transformation, for some sort of, they're curious, they're interested, maybe they have looked into something. But every time we talk about questions to ask, I keep thinking, try this with my father. So if you're speaking to somebody who claims at least to want some kind of change, and yet you realize that the questions are kind of hitting multiple layers of resistance, or maybe lack of awareness, or maybe, I don't know what it is. There are many scenarios, I'm sure. Are there any questions? Are there any techniques that work into this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I hate to say we're gonna get through all of it in the resistance module, because there is a lot to it. But I'll share now, I mean, briefly, what you wanna do is create awareness around the resistance. Step two, normalize it, so the person doesn't feel weird or ashamed about it or judge. And then step three, ask a question that will allow them to move beyond it. There's a lot to those three things, and we'll look at all of that in resistance archetypes, but that's the general three-step process. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, let's keep on going. We'll talk a little bit right now. Another type of question is visioning questions. We're gonna do a whole module on visioning and strategizing. We're really gonna get deep into it, because there's a lot of important pieces. But for now, I just wanna put it out there. Visioning questions. So we wanna use visioning questions when something is ready to change for a client, or when something needs to be tweaked, you know, a plan needs to shift a little bit, or a way that they're executing something is ready, it kind of needs a little bit of a tweak. We want to use visioning questions when there's an issue that needs to either be resolved or seen in a different way. If they've got an issue and it's like the way that they're seeing it is just not working for them, or it's not helping them move forward, or it's holding them back, it's a good time to ask a visioning question. When there's a new creative idea or project or incentive that's ready to emerge, it's a great moment for visioning questions. Or when your client is ready for expansion, right? In whatever area you're working on. Visioning questions help a client get more clear on their vision for something. And a vision can be a big vision, or it can be a vision on like how they want their dinner with their family to go that evening, right? So examples of visioning questions, what would it look like if? What would it look like if you owned your own business? What would it look like if you were pain-free? What would it look like if you found your perfect home? Right, whatever it is that you're working on with the client. Here's another interesting visioning question. If you could change, if you could change something about X, what would it be? Right. So if a person is, let's say they're having trouble with their relationship, right? If you could change one thing, sorry, I forgot those two words. If you could change one thing about X, about your relationship, what would it be? That question obviously helps highlight an issue in the relationship, but it starts to move a client towards visioning a more ideal relationship too. If you could have this any way that you want, how would you have it? I like to use this question when I'm working with a client who is not used to giving themselves permission to want what they want. A lot of us have been conditioned to not give ourselves permission to want or feel like we deserve what we want, right? So that if you could have it anyway, question can sometimes, but it can help give permission around some of that. Another great visioning question, what would the best possible outcome look like here? Right, they're going into a meeting, they've had trouble with this person before or the team before, whatever, or they're nervous. What would the best possible outcome look like here? Sometimes you can get at visioning by asking about ideal. What would an ideal X look like? What would an ideal relationship look like? They're working on relationships. What would an ideal wedding look like? What would an ideal job look like? Similar to the permission, the other permission one, what would you like to have happen here? Such a powerful question. How often do we get asked, what would we like to have happen? You know, it's like we're too busy in our heads thinking about all the things that can't happen, that are never going to happen, right? What would I like to have happen here? A visioning is also about rounding out the details, getting into some of the details. So share with me the details, round out this picture for me, right? So a lot of times a client is talking about like a new offering that they want to offer. Share with me more details on this. This is a little bit of a different one, but I offer it just to think about. When it comes to your ex, right, whatever you're talking about, when it comes to your relationship, where does the universe want you to stretch next? So that's a spirit question. Remember the four levels of learning and processing or learning and transformation? That's one that gets the client out of, to connect to something bigger than themselves, to see the vision. Where does the universe want you to stretch next? Lots of other visioning questions. These are some examples. Another type of question are feeling questions. So these are questions that either activate the heart level of learning and processing, or they can be questions that activate the body, you know, because our feelings are very tied in and related to body, right? So we can activate the body level. We want to use feeling questions in a couple of different we want to think about it in a couple of different ways. So a good time to use a feeling question is after a series of intellectual, mental level of learning and processing questions, right? Like we've understood cognitively what the vision is, for example, what they want to have happen. And then we want to ask a feeling question. If we sense that a client is starting to get too heady about something, you know, like they've gotten too much into their thinking and they've disconnected from their emotion, from their heart, from their body, asking a feeling question can help bring it all together. Or another good moment to use a feeling question is when you're discussing something with a client and you sense that there isn't yet an emotional resonance with what you're discussing. You sense that there isn't yet an emotional resonance. So let's say, you know, sometimes I'll be talking with a client like about something they want to do. They want to create an event. And we'll have like a whole conversation about, it's usually a revisioning what wants to be created, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But I can feel that they're talking through the ideas, but they don't feel emotionally connected to it, right? So that's a good moment to bring some of that emotional connection in. Because remember, we need that level. We can't just have the mental level in order to create something or get to a place, right? We need these different levels. So examples of feeling questions, how would that feel, right? So you might be talking about a new idea or a way to approach a partner or a new meditation practice or, you know, whatever it is. How would that feel? Or here's another one. How do you feel in your body as you describe that? What does your heart tell you about this? I like to use that one. You know, what is your heart saying about this? I like to use that one in decision making too. Maybe that's another good moment to use a feeling question, a moment of decision, particularly if a person tends to get too heady, right? And sometimes I'll just ask the question, what is your heart telling you about this? And sometimes I'll give the instruction, and I think I've modeled this at least once for all of you. Take a moment, close your eyes, put a hand on your heart. What is your heart telling you about this? For some clients, they don't, that's too woo for them, right? But then for other people, it's exactly what they need. What do you notice about the tone of your voice? So sometimes if a client is talking about an idea or something that happened, I'll notice that there's an emotion in their voice. There might be anger, there might be excitement, there might be love, there might be compassion, right? What do you notice about the tone of your voice can really create awareness for a client around how they feel about something, but also help them connect in a more conscious way, more deeply with that feeling. When you get the handout, I have a lot more feeling questions. Because of time, I'm not gonna go through all of them. But there's a lot of others. So definitely take a look at the handout. Motivation questions. I'll say this. When your clients can become aware of their motivation, it's easier for them to move forward. When your client can become aware of their motivation, it's easier for them to move forward. So you want to use motivation questions when you sense that your client needs motivation or a bigger reason or a mission or inspiration in order to move forward, which we all need on one level or another to move forward, right? Or else it's just like by will alone. That's not so good. And so these questions, if you remember the four levels of learning and processing, motivation questions are actually spirit level questions. Again, you have to be religious or spiritual even. Spirit level is something that connects you to something bigger than your ego. We need that for motivation. From something big, like a massive project, or like something not considered so big, you're starting a new meditation practice, right? So examples of motivation questions, what's your deep why around this? Why does that feel important to you? What about that excites you? What value does this experience have for you? And then for people that do resonate, you know, with the language of spirit or whatever, like you can use whatever, you know, sometimes I might ask, what would spirit, why would spirit be asking you to do this? Why would your inner, you can substitute inner wisdom, you can substitute God or Buddha or what higher power. What's the higher reason here? All right, I'll go through one more category and then I'll open up for thoughts and cues again. Okay, so this next category, I don't know why, I love this category so much. I call it percentage or number questions. Percentage or number questions. So you want to use percentage or number questions when your client needs support distinguishing story from reality. When a client needs support distinguishing story from reality, when a client is unclear about their truth, when a client is maybe confused about something, they're not sure if it's their truth or if it's a story. I also, related to that, I will sometimes use these questions. If a client has just shared something with me, and my sense is that what they just shared is misaligned for them, I may ask a percentage or number question. So, you know, an example of that would be, like if they've just shared, you know, that they just want to like let go of their whole business and start something else because they feel disinterested, right? And so for some clients that I, that wouldn't feel misaligned, right? Like if I sense that that's a misaligned, right? That's another time when I might ask a percentage or number. So percentage or number questions are really helpful to make these distinctions. So I'll give examples, you'll understand more. On a scale of 1 to 10, how true is that statement? Here's another example. Let's say a person is talking about their friendships and that their friends aren't thinking about their best interest. What percentage of your friends are actually not thinking about your best interest? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you actually want to apply for that job? So by putting it into a number on a scale or a percentage, it can help to really make that distinction between the story and the reality and take away confusion. I think the reason why I love this question so much is because it seems like such a surface question, but so many times, like if you ask it in the right moment, it can create a breakthrough for the client. All right, let's pause here. Questions, thoughts coming through. What do you need? I've still got some more categories to share with you, but what cues do you have or what do you want to share? What are you seeing? Anyone need anything? You guys are good. I want to pause for some space too, because I know I'm sharing a lot. Let me ask you this. So far of all of the categories that I've mentioned, which one are you most excited to play with? Linda.
Hi, Joanna. So I actually have a question. Given that we'll attract clients like ourselves, I tend to want to make sure I give every detail about the situation before I ask a question, make sure the whole background is really clear.
That you get the whole detail.
I'm sorry?
You want to make sure that you have all the detail.
No, that I give, if I'm, let's say if I'm being coached, I want to give all the detail.
Oh, I see what you're saying now.
You know, the detailed backgrounder of the situation so they have know all the information. And that could like take 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So what kind of question would you ask to somebody like that so that they don't spend 15 to 20 minutes?
Yeah. It's such a good question. And it is one of the categories that I have for us today. Mm-hmm. And it is called the interruption question.
Oh, good.
So when a client has been talking too much and not getting to the point, or giving too much information, or distracting themselves with details or unimportant threads, do not be afraid to ask them to pause. Don't be afraid to interrupt them. And you can ask them to pause for a moment, say like, I want to pause for a moment. You're sharing so much. This is all so great. Let's pause here for a moment. And here's some things that you can then ask. What's the essence of what you're saying? That's one. What's the essence? Or you're sharing so many things. This is great, right? You don't want to make them feel bad for it. What feels most important to you about everything that you're sharing? In some situations, it's a little bit different, but I still have it as one of the interruption questions. In some situations, you can say, I sense that you're beating around the bush. What are you avoiding here? If that's appropriate and you've got that container with the, you know, those energetics with the client. Is that helpful?
Kind of, sort of. So for me, my motivation is that maybe it's just the lack of trust that if they don't know all of the facts, they can't possibly answer the question. So I wouldn't know how to talk to a client like that, because they're getting to a question, but they first, I want to tell you the background. Right.
So you can just create awareness around it and honor them and also let them know. So say, you can tell me if I'm getting this right. I sense that you're very much like me, whereas I really like to lay out all of the details. And I love that about you, and I appreciate about you. And one of the things that I've learned is like, sometimes there's a moment for all the details, but other times we can actually get to where we need to go without. So let's try this out. You know, if you're willing, what's the essence or what's the most important here? Right. Oh, wow. So you can try to kind of set the context and be, I always say like, what's in my mind. This is like a, I don't know what skill this falls into, but like, if I'm thinking it in the practitioner, as the practitioner in my mind, I'm going to just share it, you know, like set the stage with the client, and then we're both on the same page and we can go from there. Right. Now that may not work all the time. The client might be like, no, I need to. Right. And then in that situation, I would go with it. But if it's like a client that you're working with over time and it's happened a number of times, I would then have a conversation around like, what's the need that's not being met, or what is the resistance, what is the fear, you know, and then kind of go deeper. Not the first time, but if it's a pattern that is like an obstacle in the coaching or getting things done in a timely manner.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, for me, it's only when there's a highly charged situation and I like have this propensity to want to be fair and give, you know, whatever, the full story, you know, so.
Absolutely, you know, and so, yeah, so you can use all the things I just shared, and also to say, like, sometimes the purpose of a session or the purpose of most of a session is a client just needs to be expressed and seen, right?
Yeah.
I don't think for me, the kind of like work that I do, that doesn't feel aligned for every session or most of the time. I mean, I always want my clients to be seen, but sometimes a client will just come in and like the shit just hit the fan right before we got into the session. Mm-hmm. And that session is going to be about them. It just expressing what needs to be expressed. And I may say a little bit here or there, try to ask some questions that will help go deeper when I can, but they just need to be with it, right? So there are going to be some moments for that too.
Thank you very much. I agree with that assessment.
Good. Always coach the what based on the who, right? Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hey.
Hi. So I have a question. A lot of my clients have autoimmune diseases, they're in chronic pain. And one of the visioning questions that I do tend to ask is, what would it look like if you were pain-free? And they just get stuck. Yeah. I don't know the life in which I was pain-free. I don't even know what that would look like. And I then get stuck as well because I'm not sure exactly how to move forward from there, because I don't want to just say, we'll try, because that's not
right. Right. I know, that's right. That's like annoying. We'll just try. Right. So again, you know, every person is going to be different, right? Coach the what based on who. But when I hear that, where I go to first in my mind is probably for a lot of those people, there's a lot of grief in that, or anger, or sadness, or whatever it is, right? That's charged, right? I can't even imagine what it's like to be pain-free, right? So back to creating awareness, like as the practitioner, then the very first thing I would do is honor what is, right? And like create awareness around that. Like, you know, I hear you. I know that when you've been in pain for this long, it almost like feels sad or anger, whatever you may hear in their voice, you know, and I just really want to honor that, right? So just by doing that first, that alone may or may not, right? I don't know, but it's important, I think, for some clients to give that honoring of what is, and then it could open them up. From there, depending on how they respond to that, you know, it might be around you would, and so then you may or may not, again, depending on the client, need some permission. You know, I know that this is hard, you know, considering everything. Are you willing to see if we can kind of poke at this a little bit and go a little deeper, right? There maybe someone may say no, but and then you honor that. But like the real reason why you're asking that question is because if you can get permission, and it's a yes or no question, like if they have the inner yes that they're open, then that's going to smooth the way a little bit more for them to see, you know, and then from there, depending on their situation, you could ask, can you remember back to a time when you were pain-free, you know, even if you were 4, right? And of course, you may not remember everything, but like, what do you remember about that experience, right? Or if you could, I mean, sometimes just as like, if you could guess into it, right? Like just take a guess, this isn't about right or wrong. What would you imagine? Or sometimes it's like, maybe pain-free is too extreme. Like what's a next step, right? That like not pain-free, but like pain sometimes, you know, versus pain always. Or so then you can kind of play with some of that. Is that helpful?
Really helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great question. Any other cues or anything else that anyone wants to say or share before we go back for some more? All right. I'll share a couple more categories. We're not going to get to all that are on the resource sheet that you'll get, but you know, you'll go through, and any questions that you have after, let me know. Let's see. We're going to go deep for those of us that are in the full certification. We're going to go deep when we get to fear and resistance and thought patterns. We're going to get into like obstacle questions, insight into obstacle questions. I won't look at those right now, but we'll get to all of those. And you've got some on the resource sheet. Getting support questions. When you're in a conversation or session with a client and you see that the client is taking on too much, whether it's in their life in general, in their business, in their project, in their parenting, you know, whatever it is, or when you see that a client is overwhelmed by a situation, you may want to ask a getting support question. So some examples as getting support questions is supporting a client to create awareness around where they can get support on this thing that is too much or overwhelming, right? So who can help you with this? A lot of times, if I'm working with parents, like the child care and all the child responsibilities, like getting support questions. If you knew that they would say yes, who would you ask for help? Right. So sometimes we, because the reason why I put that question in there is like, I mean, I know I do this too. It's like people go to like, well, I can't ask that one and I can't ask that, you know, they're not going to want to, and they're gonna, right. So first we just, it's almost like a visioning question in a way, like we're just giving permission for the possibility. If you knew that they would say yes, who would you ask for help? Right. Just as a start of a conversation around it. What can you delegate? What request can you make? And sometimes it's like, how can I help? Simplifying questions. So these also, sometimes if a client is overwhelmed, you may want to ask a simplifying question. Or if a client is taking on too much, or if they're unhappy with their current situation. So simplifying questions support a client to see how they can simplify a situation. What can you say no to starting today? I need to like ask my question that question every single day. What can you say no to starting today? What are you tolerating, right? In general, or like, what are you tolerating about this situation? It can bring awareness to what they can start simplifying. What can you simplify here, right? What's no longer serving? What's no longer serving around this arrangement with the company? What's no longer serving about this program that you lead? What's no longer serving about being on the PTA? Or another way of asking it is, what's no longer aligned? Or another simplifying question is, what's the priority? Integration questions. I'm a practitioner that tends to ask a lot of integration questions. So you want to use integration questions after a lot of awareness has been created, or there have been different strands or threads or ideas that have come up, or at the end of a session. And you've heard me ask so many of these. What are you seeing for yourself here? What's important about this? What are you learning? What's your takeaway? What's the wisdom that's coming forward here? So always at the end of a session, I'll ask about a takeaway, you know, one of these. But again, if like a lot has just come through, I'll pause and ask an integration question. I think I shared about, Elijah, did you have a question?
Yeah, you said all those so quickly. I wonder if you would just repeat them one more time, please.
Yeah, I will. And they'll be on the resource sheet.
Thank you. Yeah.
What are you seeing for yourself here? What's important about this? What are you learning? What's your takeaway? Or what's the wisdom that's coming forward here? Another great integration question is, what's the thread that's moving through all of these different issues? What's the thread that brings it all together? What's the umbrella, you know, on top of this, are these different things that we've been talking about? How do all of these things relate? I think I shared last week about yes or no questions. Did I? I don't want to repeat it. If I did, can somebody let me know? Maybe you don't remember. I did, right? Yeah, okay, so I won't do that again. But if you don't remember, you didn't hear it, go back to last week and listen about yes or no questions, because there's important pieces there. Challenge questions. These aren't exactly questions. They don't really fall under questions a little bit. They're more like invitations. You want to ask a challenge question or challenge invitation in a moment when a client is ready to stretch beyond their perceived limitations in a real way. In a moment when a client is ready to stretch beyond their perceived limitations. A challenge question, want it to be in the right moment, because if the client isn't ready, it can just fall flat or piss them off. But if you sense that they are ready, what a challenge question can do is really lovingly, I use the word push here, but I don't like that word. Lovingly invite a client beyond what they think is possible. Challenge questions always involve measurable actions. They always involve measurable actions. Examples. I challenge you to generate 3 sales calls this week. How does that land for you? I'm laughing at this one because I once gave myself this next challenge. I challenge you to stop complaining for a full week. What do you think about that? I challenge you to reduce your expenses this month. And then a question, do you feel up for that? You want to try that? Here's another one. I sense that that's too easy for you, right? I sense that, you know, what you're planning, I sense that's a little too easy for you. How can you go further? Now, when you ask a challenge question, your client can accept or decline or negotiate the challenge, right? And any of those 3 things are within the realm of possible and all okay. You have not failed if your client declines. The trick is to make the challenge motivating, but not shameful if the client isn't up for it. All right. confrontation questions. I don't even like that title so much. Bold and fierce questions. Bold and fierce questions. So these are questions that help clients jump over blocks because you are being slightly confrontational with them, but loving at the same time, right? We looked at this in creating awareness too. I mean, sometimes like we want fierceness sometimes, but always with love and no shame. You want to make sure your client is in the right place before, similar to, you know, creating awareness when we looked at this, right? You do want them to be in it. If they're having the worst day ever and they're triggered for 10 other different reasons, not the right session for one of these, right? So, I mean, these can take so many forms as all of these categories. I'll just share a couple. This is a yes or no question, actually. What if what you just shared was actually not true at all? What if what you just shared? And that one is even like mild, I think, right? I mean, depending on what the client just shared. Here's another one. I say this sometimes, if I have the right relationship with a client, I feel like I want to call BS on what you just said. What do you think about that? And then of course, there's so many, you know, I mean, just hundreds of contexts. So hundreds of different bold and fierce, you know, how have you been clinging on to this relationship to keep you safe? You know, for one person, that's not a bold and fierce question, but for another client, you know, if they're really clinging and they can't see, that can be confrontational, right? Okay, let's look at two more types. Encouraging questions. So when a client is thinking about stretching themselves, but they need extra encouragement, assurance, or motivation. So it's like, they're not totally there yet that they've decided to do the stretch or the new action or the bold thing. They're thinking about it, but they kind of need that extra encouragement to get over the line. Here are some examples. What do you need to say yes to creating the online dating profile? What do you need to say yes in order to create that online dating profile? Here's another example. It feels like you're almost there. What do we need to tweak so that you feel ready to create an online dating profile? Right, those are just two examples. Tons of ways to encourage and ask questions around it. All right, last category for now, assessment questions. Questions that help a client assess the situation. So you want to use these when a project or an initiative has either come to an end or is coming to an end, or it's coming to a turning point, like it's ready to shift in some way, or it's come up against an obstacle. And that those are all good moments for assessment. For those of you that just took Sacred Rhythms, that's part of like harvesting, right? So that would be towards the end of something, like right before the winter and the letting go. Or if there's a ready for a next cycle, it's coming to a turning point, or if there's an obstacle. So assessment, and by the way, I ask assessment questions about my business all the time. Like I'm tracking a lot. What's working, right? What's not working? What are your resources and strengths in the situation? What can you learn from everything that you've just been through, right? So like at the end, let's say at the end of a launch, I'll ask a client what worked about this launch. So we know for next time, right? What didn't work about this launch? So we know for next time. What are all the things that you've learned through the execution of this launch? About yourself, about your ideal client, about, right, all the things. Okay, I think that's, I'm not gonna give you much anymore for now. We'll open up. So, okay, a couple of things. So number one, I know there's a lot, like I started, I'll end in this way. I know I gave a lot of information today. You do not expect you to have integrated any of it. This was like the opening up to think about all of these things. And to give you more choices in your coaching, I want to encourage you, whether it's with your partner or your clients, to maybe have some of these questions opened up in front of you and play a little bit, you know, see how that helps. When you practice with your partner this week, you know, afterwards, go back and look at different questions that you asked and did they fall into these categories, right? And how was that helpful? And what may have been a better category? So play with some of that. I want you to take a moment and write down, what are you taking for yourself from our call today? Even if you're feeling overwhelmed, right? Even beyond that, what are you taking for yourself? What feels important here? What are you seeing or what are you excited about? And I'd love for you to share in the chat. And also I'd love to hear from a couple of you what you're taking and any questions that you have before we wrap for today. Rose.
Yes, I am really excited about the possibilities here. And in terms of the number of options that I don't think I was allowing myself to expand into. And I've got, you know, two clients that I can think of that I feel a little stumped in terms of, I don't know, stretching our experience and many things here. I feel like I can really go deeper into asking better questions to see, because there's richness in everyone. And, you know, it's, you know, so the opportunity is for me to get out of judgment and thinking, I don't know, thinking I know, or it just really knowing that these two clients have everything they need to help move them along. And my job is to ask some better questions. So thank you. Really helpful. Yeah.
Thank you. I love what you just said, right? That to trust that they have everything that they need, right? And I think the more that you do that, Rose, the more it will give you permission to ask better questions, because you're not going to be so caught up in, right?
Well, because I judge myself and think I'm not doing enough. And it's not, I mean, my job is to be this channel, but it's really to trust them. And that's another, that trust piece that I'm working on. So yeah, thanks.
Beautiful. I love it. I love how you've really been pulling in the trust piece week by week. Really.
Everywhere, all the time.
Good. Catherine.
I love this. I am, you know, one of the questions was, what are you most excited about? And I love these questions. So I'm going through, I'm not really practicing with clients right now, but I am starting to do surveys and intakes to really narrow down who I'm working with and what I'm working on, my specialty. And I love just asking them the questions and then just listening. So when I was coaching before, I was getting caught in the cycle of trying to consult to make sure they got their money's worth, to give them the information. And I was doing this session with someone yesterday, or a survey, and I was just asking her questions, and it was so fascinating what she said. There's so much richness within her. And there was a moment where I started going into trying to answer something for her. And I was like, I didn't want to hear myself talk. This is like such a big switch. And I'm so excited about it because I feel like something is clicking. And what used to feel really hard and where I wanted, you know, I mentioned this before, like, I don't know if I want to work with people. I feel so anxious before I work with people. And now I'm like, I actually kind of am excited to talk to people. It's a big shift. I'm delighted.
That is such a celebration, Catherine. I'm so happy to hear it because I know you've mentioned that before, and I can feel that shift for you. And one of the things that you said that like really sticks with me is, you know, as you were talking to that person, that you recognize there's so much richness inside of her. Imagine if you approached each client in that way, right? That would build so much, even more excitement. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's very moving. Thank you.
Thank you. Elvie.
Yeah, I'm resonating with both what Catherine and Rose said. It's just, it's making everything so much more exciting. And it's funny, I was thinking, I wish I had done this lesson yesterday because I had a get to know each other call this morning with somebody where I got involved in like a lot of like information that I didn't need to have for just that call. And now I have this set of tools that it's just amazing. It just opens the possibilities to a lot of more richness. That's the, yeah, it's great. So I'm really excited. I was just like, as we were going through the lesson, I'm like, oh, I could have asked you this morning.
And it's just, you know, tossing it to you. You can always shoot an email and say, I love the conversation. It's got me thinking so much about this and that. And I just, if you feel like answering, right, here's a question or two for you to journal on, right?
Well, I just started listening to the bonus 4-hour call. Yeah, that's going to be super helpful.
Yes. And you can, there's always like, it's forgiving, right? Like you can always go back and ask questions for sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I love these comments in the chat as well. Yeah. The assessment questions can help a person step back from the drama. That's right. It takes the emotion out of it. And then helps the client really assess in a more objective way. Expanding your repertoire, good. I'm so glad. So enjoy all of this. Remember to take a look at the Facebook Live if you haven't yet. We're gonna have our practicum next time we meet. I'm really looking forward to that. We'll do more questioning. And if there's anything that you need before then, let me know. I'm around and I'm thinking about you. Talk to you soon. Bye.